Welcome to the Your Oxygen Mask First podcast. I'm Erin Young, and this is the space where we explore ways to help the helpers. Because you can't help anyone before you help yourself. So sit back, put your own oxygen mask on, and enjoy the ride. And thank you again for joining us. I'm very appreciative you guys have stuck around with us for so long. We've been dark for a little bit. There's been some exciting things that have been happening, which is why we haven't had enough content. I got my degree, and we've just entered into an awesome partnership with the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network. You're going to be hearing a lot more about this amazing organization soon. And today, we're going to introduce you to the network and our founding president, CEO, hotshot, whatever you want to call him, Derek Reed, is here with us today. And like I said, this is all about peer support and what the network is and how we are banding together with unity to help people. So thanks for coming, Derek.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
Well, I consider myself a Nevada resident and native. I have worked in public safety my whole adult life. I started out working on an ambulance in the mid-90s, worked my way through paramedic school and into the fire service. I've been in the fire service for about 20 years now. I've worked for various departments throughout Northern Nevada. Now I am a captain for Truckee Meadows Fire and the lead for our peer support team. It's gone fast, but I've had a great career up to this point.
No retirement anytime soon?
No, I have too many things that are on my list that I want to accomplish first.
So for people who don't know what peer support is or what we're talking about, can you explain what peer support is from your perspective?
Sure. So, you know, we've heard a lot about SISM in the past, and I haven't heard too much about peer support. It's really, it's a simple concept. It's somewhat sometimes difficult to explain to some people, but it's basically an act. It's a verb. It's you know, the act of supporting struggling peers with their emotional and psychological problems, or, you know, life. Life has a tendency to throw us some curveballs, and that's what peer support's for. But we do it at a peer-to-peer level. It's a one-on-one, confidential conversation between two individuals. It's, some would say, non-professional counseling. The setting can vary anywhere from at work, at home, you know, over a cup of coffee after work. It's aimed at helping peers access the what, why, and how of what's going on with them that just is amiss. It could be, hey, man, I can't put my finger on it, to, you know, my emotional state is, you know, imbalanced from whatever life stresses or struggles that they're going through. And that could be anything. It could be marriage, could be over divorce, family, kids, finances, physical health challenges, which is something that started drawing me into peer support because of physical health challenges. I'm attempting to pay it forward. So
when you ask your buddy to go have coffee with you and catch up, that's a form of peer support, right?
It is. That's why it's such a simple concept. It's what we should be doing anyway. It's a philosophy of, you know, hey, I want to support my brothers and sisters. You know, the suicide statistics and, you know, depression and divorce rates in public safety, that's everything. Fire, you know, EMS, law enforcement, dispatch, even hospital, you know, professionals. So we have a lot on our plate, and having a cup of coffee to discuss, hey, you know, I'm struggling here, takes a lot of courage. And that's where the strength is to say, hey, I'm, I need a conversation here. Mm-hmm. Something's amiss. So it's simple. It's authentic.
So for peer support, we're not saying that peers have to be clinically trained psychologists or licensed marriage and family counselors. And I think that there is kind of that wall in between people dipping their toes into mental health things is because, well, I'm not certified to provide mental health support. Well, yeah, you are. You're a human being. You can. Do you have any thoughts about that?
You're absolutely right. So it comes down to communication skills. And when we're on the job, you know, we're there for a very minimum amount of time. And what we need to do is kind of figure out what's going on and solve the issue, or at least provide some kind of guidance to what's going to happen next to mitigate that issue. So our communication is taught very fast. It's somewhat digging for facts and then solutions in a very time-compressed manner. Peer support is like it's a relationship with an individual. And when somebody is having issues, you know, nobody likes to be told what to do. And when they're having problems and you think that you know what they need and you're like, oh, I had a situation that was exactly like this. Well, you know, most people haven't, because it's an individual, it's subjective to that individual. So the communication skills behind it is probably one of the biggest things. And listening, active listening, is actually, you know, hard, especially when there's a conversation going on and they're talking to you and they're, you know, being vulnerable to you and they're trusting you and they're telling you these things. They're getting their ego out of the way, which is what needs to happen in order for that authentic conversation to happen. That's communication. And as a listener, and we're dealing with public safety people, you always have to watch for that fast inside pitch. You know, they're not everybody's going to come out and say, yeah, I feel like killing myself. They're going to say it in a different way. It may be nonverbal. That might be they're hinting to it. And if you're not listening and you don't catch it, again, it's communication. It's the follow-up questions. It's the reflective listening. It's the paraphrasing. It's communication.
And knowing your people too, right?
Knowing your people, yes, and that's a tricky one too, because we think we know our people, but they have lives too. They have lives outside of the firehouse, outside of, you know, law enforcement. We're here for a long time, but we also have personal lives, and we don't always see what's going on inside somebody. And we are experts at appearing to be okay when we're really not. One of the millennial traits is they appear to be fine, but they're really not. And they have a really good affinity for, yeah, I'm good. You know, ask a fireman, a police officer, a dispatcher, an EMS person, how you doing? You're going to get a reflex response, and that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Living the dream.
Yep.
So training for communication and those other skills, how important is that? What does the training look like for them?
The training that we have through peer support is, we have crisis intervention for individual and group. The ICISF hosts those kind of trainings. The International Association of Firefighters also has a peer support training. It goes along the lines of communication, role play, the same as the ICISF, but it starts at the ground level. It's listening. It's building trust. It's, you know, understanding that if you let your phone distract you when you're having a conversation, you've lost credibility, especially when they're being vulnerable and open to you. You have to lean in. You have to say, okay, you know, if they say something that you are interested in, you should follow up. Well, can you tell me more about that? You know, I'm not quite understanding this part. Angelo Sacco from FDNY taught one of our peer support trainings, and he is not only a firefighter, but also a clinician. And he says, you'll be amazed on how much good you'll do just by listening to somebody and letting them talk. You don't have to provide any solutions. What you're doing is going through the discovery process with them, and they're kind of figuring it out themselves. And it's more effective than telling them, well, I think you should go to counseling, or I think you need to go to a treatment center, or I think you need to go to AA. By allowing that individual to express their feelings, get it off their chest, is so valuable. And Angelo Sacco said, he's had guys come back to him years later and go, man, you have no idea how much you helped me that day. You know, my life has changed because of that conversation. And he puts his hands in the air and he goes, I didn't do anything. All I did was listen to the guy and have some follow-up questions. That's it. So, as a first responder, you know, we always have ideas on how we're going to fix something. As individuals, we're like that. We're judgmental animals, you know. We have egos. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I know what you need. You need this. I went through the exact same thing. No one's gone through the exact same thing. The variables are too different. Individuals are too different. And it's a conversation. It's building trust, allowing that person to say what they need to say. And if they do, from a peer support standpoint, all you're doing is challenging them with compassion. So if you feel that there's something amiss or they're doing something unhealthy, you challenge them on that, but you do it with compassion. If they're drinking too much and you come across as judgmental, the conversation is over, even though you guys are still talking. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. But through peer support, we're looking at normalizing mental health and those discussions that happen, because we find out things sooner before somebody hits a crisis or before they get to the point where they're so far in left field that it's too shameful for them to come back. Because in order for them to come back, they have to admit, yeah, I've been doing this, this, and this, and this is embarrassing, and I'm just going to keep doing this and this and this. And we call that numbing, you know. Mm-hmm. The action signal that comes, you know, if we don't recognize it, then we start numbing. If you find yourself sitting in front of the TV with a half gallon of ice cream, not feeling that great, unless you'd normally do that, that's an action signal. So you're comfort eating. What's up, dude? You know?
Mm-hmm. Put away the Ben and Jerry's and talk to me.
That's right.
What about those people that have the problems that's not fixed by having the conversation? So peer supporters, there's an extra step, I feel, that comes after that. Can you explain that?
If you ever get to a point to where you hit a roadblock, or you're like, okay, and they listen, but they still have issues, you know, we're not going to just high five in the parking lot after the coffee and leave. You know, as a peer supporter, you should also be an expert in resource management. So if you see that they're needing something, you have to give that to them. And that could be a referral to a counselor. You can say, hey, you know, I actually see a counselor too. And this lady is an awesome, you know, even though when I didn't have issues, I realized that I had some underlying things that were affecting me to where I could be living a better life, but wasn't. It could be a book. It could be like, hey, you know, there's a really good book on exactly what you're talking about and about it. And I would recommend reading it. And if they're in that much need and they want a life change, they'll read the damn book. Mm-hmm. Any kind of literature online. Hey, there's this great place called the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network. And it's online. It's a website. And there's tons of resources. There's a book club. There's retreats, you know, New Mexico, California, Arizona, wherever you want to go. And they're good places that have been vetted by first responders. The other thing, so, you know, dealing with that stress, as a peer supporter, we're under a lot of stress too. However, there are things that are helpful for all of us. And we call them the four pillars of stress management. And that's keeping your relationships intact. Make sure that you're physically healthy and your fitness is good. Your environment, you know, adjusting and being self-aware from when you transition from work to home. And your financial stability, you know. It's American dream to be in debt. You know, however, if you tax too many of these four pillars too much, you're going to find yourself in this very helpless, you know, feeling where your relationships are in the toilet. You know, you feel overweight, family environment, the dog runs away from you when you get home. The wife doesn't want to have conversations with you. The kids are, you know, finding some way to stay away from you. Those are action signals. Those are like, hey, why is this happening? And then you add the financial component to that and you got a perfect storm. Doesn't always have to be those things, but those are definitely the four pillars that we as first responders want to say, hey man, you know, how's your relationships at home? And, you know, have you gone to the gym lately? You know, that's really healthy. You know, how's the money situation? I remember you said something about, you know, having to sell your RV. It sounds trivial, but an RV is a self-care mode of transportation, if you will. So that's what a peer supporter does. It's kind of dissecting without recommending anything. Like I said, it's simple, but the training is important because everybody thinks they have the right answers for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And I think the way that we have grown up with conversation and linguistics too is that we want to connect with somebody. So we feel connection by trying to share what we have gone through too. But what we don't realize is that it's actually diminishing their experience. Your intentions may be good. You're just trying to connect with that person. But I feel the peer support classes that I've taken has really helped bring that to the forefront of, are you helping or are you just trying to have skin in the game in this conversation?
Yeah. So self-disclosure does come up in those trainings, like you mentioned. And it's thin ice, but if somebody can get in and get out and make a point, it can be helpful. But I also think that listening skills is not about thinking about the next thing you're going to say. Listening skills is listening without having a response. You are trying to understand that person. If you think you have something of value, then it would be wouldn't be great to not share it. But, you know, saying a war story, you know, trading back war stories like a game of ping pong is not healthy. Like I said, it just depends. That's my non-professional opinion. So.
And you had talked about the pillars and talked about family. Peer support is not just about the individual. Who else does peer support actually help?
Everybody. And here's the ripple effect that it has. So if a peer is having struggles and they're not focused, their relationships suffer, and that's the internal and external customer. And the number one thing that ripple effect has in a negative sense is you are having issues and you're having outbursts of anger, or you're isolating, or you're not part of the crew, having a good time. Even on an ambulance, I worked on an ambulance long enough to know that person sitting next to you is sitting next to you for 12 hours, you know, mm-hmm. if that's your shift. Some of them are 24-hour shifts. That's a long time to be next to somebody that's negative. It will rub off and it will affect how that person feels. Now, they go on a call. You know, maybe it's a frequent flyer. Maybe it's somebody that they're so tired of going on. Now both people are stressed out. And now their level of care for that external customer is diminished just by the fact that they're just, you know, this negativity going on between two people, let alone one. That person goes home. They take that negativity with them and one of the pillars environment, make that transition, or at least make that transition informing that family, hey, I had a rough day, and then having that communication with the family. It's going to have a negative effect there. The high-risk, low-frequency calls, this is huge. If you have people that are distracted, you have peers that are distracted for whatever reason, then it doesn't matter. You know, we always go, oh, it's PTSD, PTSI, PTS, depression, you know, all this stuff. Distraction is distraction. If you're providing a high-performance level of service, and you're not on your, you know, best day, your customer service externally will suffer. And so, you know, well, that whole thing. And then there's ripple effect from that. Mm-hmm. So it's being self-aware. And as a peer, the challenging with compassion, it's something we haven't done. You know, if you notice something, you see something, and it's not right, say something. And we really encourage that. But it goes from the individual all the way to the family member at home, to the dog. The dog will know that you're pissed off, you know, or not doing well. Hey, they may be the one that actually sees it first.
So what I'm hearing is that peer support has a very high return on investment as far as your people are happier, they're performing better, they're not getting into accidents or falling through roofs because they're not distracted. And their family life is better. Is there a challenge trying to get buy-in for peer support teams and activities?
Yes to your first question. And that's the most simplest thing when we can be distracted. And that's being on the highway, you know, the freeway. I've had some tenuous experiences on the freeway in my career. And if you turn your back for 1 second, or you walk out from your patrol car or your engine, you only have to walk out 2 feet and you can, you know, take the full brunt of somebody's car driving by thinking that's an open lane. And yes, to your second question, I believe there is alignment within these organizations, all the way from dispatch, law enforcement, EMS, fire. The statistics are alarming, and we've been stuck on the statistics for a long time, but one of the slideshows that I show, I taught an awareness class for TMCC paramedic class, and I did away with the statistics. I put faces up there, people that we've lost in this area. And that seems to hit home a lot better than, well, you know, 25% of this and divorce rate is 70% and line of duty deaths versus suicides. That's significant, but the faces are more significant. And I believe administrations in these service branches are recognizing, hey, we need to do something here. I believe education is starting to see, hey, we've the whole load of training and education is based on sets and reps. It's based on studying your drugs. It's based on, you know, let's cut that hole in the roof again till you get it right. There's nothing in that curriculum that says, hey, when you're stressed, you know, how do you recognize within your own self-awareness when things are not clicking? Post-traumatic stress. It's not a diagnosis, it's just post-traumatic stress. I would say that every first responder has experienced that. It's how they deal with it and how they cope with it to how far it goes, or, you know, it never goes away, but it'll be processed and put into the archives. The people that don't push it down, it turns into a box and it's, you know, right next to them. And when those boxes start to build up and topple over onto them, then you have some serious problems. It could be career ending. Administrations are seeing this and they're getting on board. I just had a conversation 2 hours ago with a guy that's leading their peer support team. And she told me that, yeah, you know, they have a battalion chief that's on board and she's supporting it 100%. And whatever they need, yes, let's do it. That's the long answer.
But it's important.
It absolutely is, because alignment, if you don't have alignment with from the top down, then you're going to have struggles. So right now, in my estimation, there is alignment within the Northern Nevada first responder agencies across the board.
So let's talk about that. What is the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network?
The best way to explain that is it's basically the United Nations of Public Safety, Peer Support, CISM, Chaplaincy. It is a cache of resources that are available to all, because it's a website, no matter what service branch you're in. And what we've done is we have compiled resources that are all vetted by first responders. When you go to nnpsn.com and you have the homepage, you'll notice that there's a list of, you know, news clippings or articles that are relevant to us of all service branches, events, trainings that are coming to the Northern Nevada area and outside if we feel that they're relevant. We actually have a podcast link for this great podcast called Your Oxygen Mask First.
Never heard of it. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And then we have a calendar. The resource tab up top has, that's where we've given a place for all peer support teams of every agencies, whether it's dispatch, law enforcement, fire, EMS, hospital, armed forces. Chaplaincy is definitely a good resource for first responders. CISM. And then we have a support tab that has all the training and education links to not just this area, but everywhere. Treatment centers. When we were looking for treatment centers for some of our members, we recognized that, well, wait a minute, this isn't a treatment center. This isn't an inpatient. This is a retreat. And so it was like, holy cow, you know, we need to separate these two things because they're very different. Resilience training is not an inpatient program. We have local support groups. Right now we have one that we just kind of got going, Northern Nevada Peer Support Team, we did partner with renowned Behavioral Health Center. And they provided a room for us for first responders. It's a closed AA group. They have their own door code to get into part of the building, so it's very discreet. And that this didn't exist before. Some of the feedback on that has been amazing. And some of them were from people that are actually in recovery. Some of the statements from the law enforcement side is they wish they would have had it when they needed it. Mm-hmm. Marriage, family, we have resources for that. Spousal. Wives group, spiritual connections. If you're a faith-based individual, you have a link there where you can tie into, you know, that group. Military support. And this one I'm excited about is the retired and veterans. So that's kind of a group that's forgotten. However, that is a very tenuous place to be for some retirees. You know, if they haven't planned out their post-career detachment from something such as, you know, a long service in the military or law enforcement or fire, they're associated with a group. That's their identity. Mm-hmm. And when they retire, they kind of lose their identity in a way. Some don't, but the ones that are mostly attached to what they do and they've done that their whole lives, you know, Greg Claiborne just retired after 35 years. That is a long time to be a firefighter. Mm-hmm. He's a captain. I don't want to demote him, but a great guy. But 35 years, that's amazing.
Now what?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but he was also in the military. So, but that would be an example of, okay, well, what now? Some of those guys come back and have coffee, you know, with the guys. You can only go fishing so much before you realize, well, I don't have that much money to take all these fishing trips or hunting trips, or there has to be something else, something to replace it. And the retired veterans link on our website will provide, hey, you know, there's this group that meets for breakfast, you know, every third Sunday or Saturday, or this group meets then, you know, retirees and get together and tell stories and things like that. We do have a toolkit. That's super important because for those that are wanting to build a peer support program, we have links there that'll take them right to where they have, you know, checklists on how, okay, you got to do this, 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 and that. And that's very helpful. We have a book club, like I said. So when we started the website, we asked, you know, people that were in different service branches, hey, give us your top five books that you think that might be helpful for anybody. You know, resilience books. There's books on family marriage. They have some, the five love languages, if you, most people have heard that, but there's actually one that's specific to military. There's one specific to children. So you, this is where you're enhancing your relationships with the people that are most important to you. And going back to that, that relationship part, which is one of the four pillars, is that one analogy that was used is, imagine your relationships as a movie theater. You know, those relationships that are most important to you, that's the front row. Second row back, those are important to you as well, but, you know, a little less. So it kind of gives you a tool to go, okay, self-awareness, who's most important to me in my life? Who supports me the most? Okay, well, there's where you should be investing in, because they're going to continue to support you as long as you don't empty their cup because you've taken too much from it. The other books that we have one by David Goggins. That's an excellent one. We have the Guardian of the Golden Gate, which was one of your podcasts. That was an amazing podcast, by the way.
Thank you. I love Kevin. He was awesome.
So we also have children's books on there, believe it or not. So we have one that's called Why Is Dad So Mad? And it deals with PTSD in the home. And for those military vets that are reintegrating, that kind of helps that home life, that transition that we talked about a little bit. So there's relationship books for both fire and law enforcement. So we plan on just keep building that resource so people have a place to go.
And I think it's important too that anything that makes it on that website, and by the way, we're recording in a fire station, so we're not under attack. Everything's fine. You're going to hear some weird stuff, but it's okay. We're fine. But anything that makes it onto the Northern Nevada Peer Support website is completely vetted. That means that somebody somewhere within our network has either utilized this resource, this clinician, these books, these groups, and have found it beneficial in some way. So you don't have to go on to Google and randomly pick a therapist. We can provide you one that we know has experience with first responders, because Derek, you told me once that sometimes therapists and clinicians, they get vicariously traumatized when they see a first responder.
Yeah, and peer supporters can as well. But if you're the clinician, you know, they all had some form of trauma training within their pre and post grad degrees. So they can always claim that they have some form of that. What some of them are lacking is the culture, you know, who we are, how we deal with things, how we cope, how we say things that are completely inappropriate sometimes. But, you know, some people can say it's a pressure relief valve. Some people can say, no, that's not true. That's actually not appropriate. And they're saying that for a reason. But clinicians, there's some great clinicians out there. And the ones that really want to get to know us and our culture, you know, they'll come to the station. They'll do ride-alongs. They'll take classes. And I have one to share that's coming up in February that is going to be an amazing class just for clinicians and, you know, to explain, hey, this is the culture of first responders. That's all of them, not just fire, all of them. So that's extremely important. And we do not want to traumatize clinicians, because when we do, they're not going to help us.
Or anybody else.
No. They'll have to seek treatment themselves.
Mm-hmm. So the website is just one portion of the network. Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
What's amazing is this website and the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network, by word of mouth, is getting out there. We have 20 plus affiliates that want to be a part of it. Not all of them have peer support teams, but they want to be in it. And so some testimonies of that is there's a fire department that's down south, you know, within, I don't want to disclose too much, but we had a firefighter that father had a cardiac event, a major cardiac event in Texas. And he was fixing to get on a plane and fly down there and be with his dad. He didn't know Texas. He didn't know anything about it. One of their peer supporters tried to call down to their local, and he wasn't able to get contact with anybody to help out. So he contacted a chaplain through the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network. And that chaplain contacted a known source that she knew down in Texas. And within an hour before that firefighter even got on a plane to fly down there, they had a chaplain that was going to pick him up at the airport and take him to his dad at the hospital.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
Yeah. And there's lots of testimonies. And like I said, we're moving forward and we're still working on the website. But the whole catalyst of this, I guess you can say, was when Robbie Down and Henderson Fire committed suicide. And I called down to that union president on day two or three, because I knew how we felt on day two or three when we lost Tyler Ewalder earlier last year, 2019. And I talked to him on the phone, and he sounded like we did. He's just distraught and just like, you can tell he was obviously trying to wrap his head around it. I'm like, yeah, this seems very familiar. And he made a statement. He's like, I just wish we knew what our resources were. And after Tyler, those were my thoughts. And I'm like, man, we need to somehow consolidate all these resources that are out there. We have no idea what they are. So that was a trigger for me. That day I sent an email out to, like, I don't know, 20 people maybe. And it grew from there. And now we have the network. And the relationships that we have with law enforcement now, Washoe County Sheriff's Department, Reno PD, Sparks PD, East Fork Fire, North Lake Tahoe. And we've even dipped into California. This is not exclusive to Northern Nevada. Tahoe Fire is on board. I had Plumas Forest Service reach out just today, actually. They had a loss. It wasn't a line of duty death and wasn't a suicide. They lost a member up on Mount Rose. And again, you can hear it in their voice. They're just not sure what to do. How do they rally their guys? How do they give them the support that they need? And I had a great conversation with them, and his guys are scattered right now because it's a wildland crew. So we're off season. So it's very difficult to wrangle those guys in and give them what they need when you don't even have direct contact with them. So the network is helping with that. We're doing everything we can. The clinician training that I mentioned, that's going to be February 17th. We have an IAFF peer support training in February 6th through 7th. We have discussed having a actual first responder mental health conference in the fall of 2020. And I believe that's very doable. We still have some pieces to put together, but I envision it as it being a one-day conference with keynote speakers in the morning and breakout sessions in the afternoon. And I think that will bring more awareness, more tools, more, you know. Again, peer support is nothing revolutionary. It's just about being authentic and caring for your brother and sister. So hindsight, you're not going, well, I didn't see the signs. I didn't see the inside, you know, fast pitch. So it just gives that extra support.
And there's no wrong way of doing peer support, right? It's this the important thing that you're doing it?
That's a tough question to answer, because we have had peer supporters in this area kind of engage somebody in a way where that's completely turned that mm-hmm. person off to peer support. Confidentiality is the cornerstone of peer support. It is upfront, hey, you know, when I talked about the listening skills, the very next thing, if not before that, is if you break confidence with a peer one-on-one, you've discredited yourself and you discredited the program. And that's where, and it doesn't take long. When you kick somebody when they're down, they won't forget that. So if somebody reaches out to you and they're vulnerable and they get that trust and share something with you and you break that confidentiality, you're hurting peer support. You have no idea. We did a survey and we had one bad interaction, and the comment on that was just like, it was scathing. And I was like, fair enough, fair enough. But it just requires more training, more understanding. So peer support, yes. However, you know, anybody can be a peer supporter, but if you don't fall within some of these parameters and stay in your lane, you will do damage. Some people refer to the peer support program as the Huggers Club.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And actually, I thought it was funny too. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. We're dealing with a clientele, first responders, cops, military, tough dudes, right? And women. And let me come back to that women comment here in a second. But if you put that out there, you are supporting the stigma that has already been identified as the one thing that discourages people from asking for help. It's already been identified. Stigma, 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 stigma. I've heard stigma more in the last 2 years than I've heard in my entire life. But when you call it a Huggers Club, it's funny, and yeah, that's great. But that tough guy that is struggling hears that and thinks that that group over there is called the Huggers Club. He ain't going to go to that group. And the expectation of women, that's even a tougher one, because I've actually had conversations with women, and the expectation, and they're typically, and I'm generalizing here, so more in touch with how they feel, and they can express how they feel, not all, but they can express how they feel probably better than your average man. And they're in an occupation that, you know, I'm not sure if we're to that point to where we've accepted that they can do what we do. They're tough enough, you know, especially in the military, you know, law enforcement, fire. There's an expectation there. And most women are like, I have a higher expectation than the guy that's coming in behind me because they're a woman. And I've talked to, you know, one woman in particular, and she was like, yeah, you know, it's hard for me to share my feelings, even though I want to. Because they already expect that. But if I do that, then that boasts the argument, which this is false, that they think it gives weight to, well, that's because you're a woman. No, you're human. So it's sometimes even harder for women in any of these occupations to express how they feel, because there's already that stigma of, oh, well, see, you should be doing something else.
Yeah, so we have to end the stigma, one, about mental health and the conversations around mental health, because seeing a therapist should be just as normal as going to the gym or getting your hair cut, right?
Yes.
But also the fact that it's okay to be not okay. And it's okay to talk to somebody and tell someone you're not okay.
If you know somebody that's been fine their entire life, their entire career, and never had a speed bump or something that they did that they were ashamed of or felt weak, I want to meet that guy or woman. Because I don't think they exist. And if they do exist, I'm going to tell them straight to their face that they're full of shit. We all struggle at one point in time. It's not if, it's when. You know, not all relationships are great. You know, and if you're looking at, depending on what statistic you look at, if you're saying 70% at, you know, divorce rate in public safety or one of the service branches, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
We are more dangerous to ourselves and our jobs based on the statistics. If suicides have exceeded line of duty deaths, then we are more dangerous than our jobs. Think about that for a minute.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Now, law enforcement, their numbers are higher than fire, I believe, and they themselves are more dangerous than their jobs are. Fire, same thing. EMS, I believe so. I'm not gonna state that as fact. So that's pretty astounding when you look at it from that perspective.
So let's circle back real quick to the Peer Support Network and talk about fundraising and the 501c3.
Yeah, so our 501 is pending right now, but we are an incorporation. We filed all our tax paperwork and we're waiting to hear back. The IRS is not like Jimmy John, so we should be getting hopefully some confirmation within 30 to 60 days, but that could change. Mm-hmm. However, we still are able to accept donations. Once we close the loop on the 501c3, we're going to be doing fundraisers in 2020 for sure. We definitely need support in the financial aspect until we can get the wheels rolling. But like I said, the wheels are already rolling and we're already making a huge dent in this community with peer support and SISM, and we're already normalizing the conversation of mental health, which is a huge step towards getting people the help that they need. And like I said, we have this ego, we have this hero mentality. I mean, that's kind of, trust me, you've been doing this for 25 years, and there is an expectation from the public. We have an expectation of each other to pull up our bootstraps and get the job done. And it doesn't matter whether it's a baby in cardiac arrest. It doesn't matter if, in law enforcement, you have some kind of traumatic event that leads you to kind of get rattled. It's going to happen. Like I said, if you go through your entire career and never get rattled, I want to meet that person.
Mm-hmm. And what does the money go towards?
The money for the charities will go towards, we have a choice to donate to other charities. We are going to use it to pay for trainings for peer supporters, SISM, chaplains, on all service branches. We are bringing this class in February for clinicians. We are using that money to bolster the ones that want to support the ones that serve. That's basically where we're starting. So on our website, we have a donate button. And that donate button goes directly to the Northern Nevada Peer Support Network not-for-profit bank account. We're low in funds now because we're just getting started. That is a place that you can go to support the network.
Awesome. And where can we find the website again?
The website, you can go to www.nnpsn.com. And we have a Facebook page now.
Ta-da!
Yes, and that designator will be at nnpsn. INC and Twitter. We are also up on Twitter and we have that same designator for that as well.
Yes. So check us out on all social medias because we're going to be posting trainings, information. It will be our easiest way to communicate if you're not watching the website every day.
That is correct.
Right. Do you have any closing thoughts before we go, Derek?
No. Just if you see something, say something and know that peer support is very normal. It should be a normal activity within whatever service branch that you serve. And if you feel that you need resources, you can contact any of us on the board of directors under the About Us tab. And you can also, surf the resources that are on the website themselves.
Yep. We are happy to help. I say we because I'm part of it too. So
yes, you are. You're one of our board of directors.
I am.
Your treasurer. Keeping track of the funds.
Cash dollar bills, yo. Well, thank you, Derek, for your time. I appreciate it. And we will be talking to you and other people from the Peer Support Network soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And I hope that you found something that really resonates with you. I can't wait to share even more. So please subscribe to the podcast. And you can find links to our resources in the description and at youroxygenmaskfirst.com.